ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is Mind Hacks, All in the Mind's mini midweek episode where we catch up with the experts we've spoken to in our main show, and we ask them a few simple questions about the mental health tools that they use in their own lives. What do they love? What do they hate? What do they avoid? Today, we've got developmental pediatrician and host of the podcast Pop Culture Parenting, Dr. Billy Garvey, back on the show. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Sana. It's nice to be chatting with you again.
Thanks for coming back again so soon after our last chat. Okay, got four questions for you. First one, love. What is one mental health tool, strategy, or practice, or piece of advice that has made a real difference to you?
Yeah, I think one thing, like I obviously work in this space and I think I'm better at working in it than I am at doing it myself. I set myself up to fail a bit by how much I expect of myself. And I think one thing I try and practice is that idea of just being kind to myself and then thinking about what are the things that I'm doing that actually help me, you know, such as exercise and healthy eating and sleeping and the healthy adult relationships I have in my life. I think that it's the same stuff I talk to with all the parents that I meet, but just being a bit kinder to myself and thinking that's the solution instead of beating myself up.
It's so funny you say that as well, working in this space and then how you actually live in your own life, because I mean, I'm not an expert, obviously, at all. I just cover psychology and all of this, but I often think about, you know, I should be the most psychologically stable person with the best tools in place. And if people knew how I was in my own life, they'd be like, why are you doing a podcast about psychology? But yeah. That's a thing.
Well, I think that's a really important thing, that the work that you're doing and that I'm doing as well, is being open and honest about it. I remember I was talking specifically about sleep and I mentioned how poorly my sleep is, and they were like, well, why should we listen to you then? And I'm like, well, there's a difference. I'm still a human. I still have like mental health struggles that manifest as, you know, problems with sleep. It doesn't mean that I've figured out all the solutions because I know them professionally. Yeah, and I think when people hear that people like you and I, who spend a lot of time thinking about this stuff, still have struggles, it gives them permission to also, you know, forgive themselves a little bit when they don't do things perfectly too.
All right, hate. What is the biggest stressor in your life currently, and how are you managing it?
Yeah, I think the signs that I see in the community that things aren't going great. I think I really struggle with like the individualism, the entitlement, the people not caring about others around them. And it makes me really worry about the world that my kids are coming up into. And so I do all the work that I do to try and offset that a little bit by guiding people towards healthier pro-social behaviors, looking after themselves, caring for others, all of that stuff. But that's the thing, if I'm being 100% honest, that gets me down almost every day.
Are you alluding to the news cycle at all there, or stuff you see more immediately in your world?
Yeah, I actually mean stuff I see more immediately, like people being aggressive in traffic, like not picking up after their dog, littering, you know, being abusive to others. Yeah, and just not caring for each other and looking out for others. I think that's what I mean. But yeah, definitely the news cycle really worries me. I think that, think about the kids that are coming up in the world today and what they're seeing in terms of leadership. They're seeing people that just have really unhealthy assertiveness and just take what they want, and they just speak loudly and aggressively, and we give these people a voice. And so kids don't have the ability to say, actually, we don't believe and support this person, and they completely jar against what our ideals are. They just see them having a platform, and that's one thing that I really worry about.
And in terms of the stuff you see in your own life, what you were just talking about, the aggressive behavior and littering or whatever else, what do you do in those moments when you see that and it stresses you out? What do you do?
For being 100% honest, I just get angry about it, and right, then I get sad, you know, and then I sit with those emotions and really worry about stuff. And it's funny because I speak to a lot of my friends and they'll be like, oh, I just ignore it, or I've got too many other things to worry about and things like that. But I think what works for me personally is then putting energy into the advocacy work that I do. I think I've found that that is quite a selfish thing for me. I think sometimes people will stop me and be like, it's so kind of you to do all these things and give, share your knowledge of the world. And I'm like, I'm doing it for me because it makes me feel better about the person I am and makes me feel more hopeful about the world that my kids are coming up into as well.
It's great to put frustration into positive action. So that's great. Okay, avoid. What is one mental health practice, trend, or gimmick that you think people would be better off treating with caution, and why?
I think these simple fixes that, you know, often social media influencers are putting out there into the world, that's why Guiding Growing Minds and Pop Culture Parenting and everything purposely goes into social media spaces. A lot of my academic and clinical colleagues are like, they don't do that because they're like, well, no, just publish research and sit in clinic. But with a 3+ year wait, and I've written lots of research papers that probably less than 5 people have read, I think that we need to go into these spaces and try and figure out a way to communicate effectively what the actual evidence is around child development, mental health, and share it more broadly. So I would just be cautious, and I'd always try and remind people to think, is it actually helping? Because a lot of families will engage with some resource and they'll use it for months and months or years and things aren't getting better and they think it's them. And I'm like, no, it's just actually a garbage resource that doesn't deserve anyone listening to it, but everyone's so desperate to feel better and to do better with their kids that they're consuming so much content that most of it is just made up by people.
Anything you'd like to name or call out?
Not so much without getting in trouble, but I would ask people that, like, just to think about what are the actual qualifications of this person that is telling me that they have all the answers.
Yeah. All right. Final question. What is the biggest thing people get wrong about your job as a developmental pediatrician? Are there any misconceptions you'd like to clear up?
Yeah. I mean, I see kids from the moment, you know, a few weeks of life in our unsettled babies clinic right up until like 19, 20, 21 year olds. So some people think it's just younger kids. I'm not like a medical doctor. Like, I'm not someone who looks after coughs and colds and things like that. I'm pretty hopeless with that stuff. I'm a developmental pediatrician, so we do really thorough holistic assessments. I think some people think like they'll come and see us and we'll just decide if a child's autistic or not, or we'll just medicate kids. And we have rules that we train our fellows that you don't do that in single appointments, which can be hard for people to hear because they're like, I've waited 3 years. I just want you to know if my kid is autistic or not. But we do developmental assessments that try and understand how we can help this individual child in front of us to succeed in what matters to them, what they care about, the environments and relationships that they're in. And so, yeah, it's a beautiful job, but not many people understand it. I'm different to a general pediatrician. There's not many of us. I wish there was more, but I also think most people don't need to come and see someone like me.
That's really useful to know. Dr. Billy Garvey, thank you so much for coming back on Mind Hacks.
Thanks, Sana. It's always, always great to chat to you.
That is Mind Hacks for this week. I am Sana Qadar, and I will be back with another full episode of All in the Mind later this week. Catch you then.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.